God's answers come to each person in different ways. Some receive answers as soon as they pray, while others must wait a long time. Still others earnestly pray with fasting and nightly prayers, yet receive no answer. As it is written in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Their sins have built a wall between them and God." However, in the case of Job, God was listening to his prayer. Though he did not respond immediately, it doesn't mean he was looking away. Since God was refining Job within his providence, he silently waited. And at the appointed time, God himself appeared and spoke to awaken Job. Job had often cried out, "If God exists, let him appear so I may argue my case." But when God actually appeared and began asking question after question, Job could not answer a single one. Even when God used visible, earthly things as examples, Job was left speechless. Now that God spoke of heavenly things and power, Job was all the more unable to respond. He only trembled in awe. The reason God asked Job such questions was because Job had spoken as if he could do everything, also as if he were greater than God. But when faced with God's questions, Job found himself not able to answer anything and felt deeply ashamed. He realized his ignorance, pride, helplessness, and limitations. As we explore, he feared God. He had an upright heart. When God indirectly asked him questions, Job immediately realized his wrongdoing. But people who are filled with evil, even when someone directly points out their evil, they don't realize that. God just indirectly explained, but Job understood everything and he was repenting. What about you? Even though someone gives you direct advice, you deny it. You don't refuse to acknowledge yourself. If you have done so, you cannot change yourself. From Job's attitude, you have to examine yourself. As we explore God's words and questions which continued in today's passage, may you gain great awakening and experience His grace and power. Brothers and sisters, in the last session, God asked Job, "Do you know the ordinances of the heavens, or do you establish their rule over the earth?" And right after, he continued with the following question. Chapter 38, verse 34 reads, Can you raise your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water will cover you? When heavy rain falls, it is sometimes accompanied by the sound of thunder and strong winds. The power to control aerial phenomena belongs to God. It is far beyond the realm of human influence. Still, why did God ask Job such questions? It's because Job had repeatedly cried out, "Where is God? Let him answer me." So God now responded in a way that led Job to feel humbled and have awakening. Commanding the clouds to bring down heavy rain was something entirely out of his hands, so Job felt deeply ashamed. God continued in 38 verse 35, "Can you send flashes of lightning so that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'?" God was asking Job, "If you command the lightning, go here or there, Would it respond to you? Yes, here we are. And namely, God asked if Job could cause lightning to strike wherever he wished. This too was something Job could never do. Only God could do it. Studies have shown that lightning doesn't strike randomly. It follows a specific path. In the air, a path through which electricity can easily flow is formed, and lightning strikes along that path. This is part of the providence of nature that God Himself designed. In Scripture, we also find that even lifeless beings without souls obey the voice of the Lord or of those chosen by God. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea, and they became perfectly calm. Seeing this, the people were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" In Joshua chapter 10, during the battle at Gibeon, Joshua commanded, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun and the moon stopped in their tracks. Because Joshua trusted in God who governs all creation, he could boldly speak to the sun and the moon, and God guaranteed his words. Through the questions he posed to Job, God enlightened Job on the fact that aerial phenomena and the movements of celestial bodies are subject to His sovereign will and His command. Such things you have seen a lot of the times in this church, like in many parts of the world, and like God, we ask the man of God to send rain, and when such requests were made, and when our shepherd prayed, in the regions where they didn't have rain for a long time, in some countries, drought-stricken countries, in the season where they had no rain, but after the prayer, rain came down and drought was gone. And you look at the video clips of the India United Crusade. We actually didn't have rain during the crusade. And sometimes, before the crusade, there was sometimes rain to drive away all the mosquitoes or harmful insects. But during the crusade, it didn't rain. But during that crusade, the rain didn't stop. But people didn't try to avoid the rain, but still, the crowd didn't scatter. Some people just opened their mouth wide open, and they happily received a prayer. I was also at the scene, and I wondered, when rain comes, people scatter. So I also prayed for God to stop the rain. As I saw the shepherd praying for the sick, surprisingly, they didn't scatter. They didn't go anywhere. But they just happily and joyfully got soaked in rain. But it turned out that because it hadn't rained for a long time in Chennai region, and they suffered a lot because of that. And as soon as the shepherd arrived in India, it started to rain. And they welcomed him so joyfully. And during the crusade, on day 3, when he prayed for the sick, it began to pour, but people didn't scatter, and many people were healed, and they came up on the stage to testify and share their testimony. And the next day, there were numerous people gathered and shared their testimony. we were actually concerned about the rain, but they were happy saying that rain had come down, and we were so welcomed, and we gave glory to God without reservation through that. Not just in Indian Crusade, when people asked for rain in the regions where they didn't have rain, where people suffered, and you look at the clips of the Israel. Israel has this dry season. Dry season, they hardly have rain. Because Israel hadn't got rain for a long time, even the water sea levels of Galilee reduced, subsided. Galilee is the important source of water for them. But they requested the shepherd to pray for that, and the drought went away. And such things. We don't make up such stories. We have clear, convincing evidences, because this is the possible by God's power, and this was possible by the man of God, and God answered to those prayers. Man of God manifest the power of God. They demonstrate that God is almighty, all-powerful to the world. But Job, because he, even though he hadn't experienced God's power, he believed in God. He believed that God created all things in under heaven, and but as he went through severe trials, he forgot about God who is so great, but he began to grumble and resent God. But as God asked those questions to Job, he asked him about the rain and whether he could send rain, whether he could bring down wind, and Job was speechless. And he was so embarrassed about complaining and grumbling about. We have seen and experienced directly God's power. How thankful we should be. In the Sunday morning service, I introduced the testimony of a person who had to be hospitalized due to her after effects of back surgery, and she was living alone, so she had to sometimes carry heavy loads, and because her back hurt, and even the doctors had no way to cure her aching back, she must have been so heartbroken to hear the doctor's diagnosis. But she came to this church, and the day she first attended a service, she found that the pain was gone, and she must have been so happy, and she must have been. But what God, this is our Father God, the Creator, who does surprising things. And this God showed up to Job and asked whether she could do. And this is also a message God is saying to us. Even though you are concerned, even though you have concerns and worries, you cannot change anything. Even though does your concerns and worries make any change? Does your argument with your children make any change? You have to become God-pleasing children, and then tell your request to God, and then God will respond. But why do you complain and grumble and try to do things on your own? You have to examine yourselves, thinking about Job, and humbly examine ourselves and repent. Then in the next verse, God asked, who has put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind? With this, God emphasized that true wisdom comes from Him. Here, wisdom refers to a spiritual wisdom from above, not the empty wisdom of the world. Heavenly wisdom and understanding can't be acquired on our own, but by God. Wisdom from God gives life, leads us on the path of eternal life, and brings true benefit. Even in Even in understanding the Word, we need God-given wisdom. When we open our hearts and sincerely seek Him, God provides us with wisdom and understanding, and we receive the grace to grasp His Word. That's why many believers testify that although they initially found God's Word difficult, but at some point they experienced deep awakening and found the Word as sweet as honey. From that moment on, they began to enjoy worship, loved God more, grew stronger in faith, and developed greater hope for heaven. Once God opens our ears and gives us spiritual eyes to understand and discern His Word, we begin to grasp not just knowledge, but its spiritual meaning. Then, we listen to the Word without feeling tired or drowsy. We can fully focus and receive grace. This is what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. In doing so, we receive God's great grace and wisdom. If you worship in spirit and in truth, then, with God's help, you can worship in spirit and in truth. And you also have to make efforts on your part. Then God would receive our worship and He would pour out His wisdom from above. Even though the message may be one we've heard before, we receive a different level of grace and awakening. And through such awakening, we can transform ourselves into truth. When God asked Job, "Who has put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind?" Job clearly recognized that all origin lies with God. We too should be well aware of our origin. If parents could design the hands and feet and the face of their child exactly as they wish, surely every child would be born as the most handsome or beautiful. It's because parents want their child to be born as beautiful and handsome as possible. But reality doesn't work that way. Parents can't even shape their child's nose the way they want or determine how their eyes will look. Let me tell you an interesting story. It was when I was born. Pastor Myeongni was 5 years old, so she remembers this well. And when I was a newborn baby, and my father, he touched my nose like that. Mr. Shepherd grabbed my nose like that. And Pastor Myeongni asked him, "Father, what are you doing?" "And I'm trying to make her nose look pretty." That's why my nose looks beautiful, right? So parents want their children to look... I also heard this. And Ms. Bong Nim Lee once said this. And because I tossed and I turned around on the bed, so Ms. Bong Nim Lee tried to make my head look good. And she, to make the shape of my head beautiful. But even though Ms. Bong Nim Lee laid me on the bed the way she want, but I change the position very often. So parents lovingly try to make their children look beautiful, even though their facial features are already determined a lot, but parents want their kids to look better and more beautiful. The same goes for all parents. Once they give birth to their children, they try to make them look better and more beautiful. Parents sitting in this studio also nod their heads in agreement. They want to give better things, good things, to make them better. But we cannot do... It doesn't... And we have no control over the shape of our face, our height, or anything. Parents also wish to choose the gender and have a healthy child, but this too is an area that cannot be determined by human will. We were conceived through the seed of life, sperm and egg, and was given by that was given by God. And we grew in our mother's womb for a God-appointed time and were born into the world. Until now, we've lived by breathing the air God has given us, receiving sunlight, drinking water, eating food. Therefore, our true Father is God the Creator. The same goes for the seed of spiritual life. At 6 months into the pregnancy, God plants the seed of life into the spirit and places it in the most central cell of the fetus's body. Because people have this seed of life, even those who do not believe in God instinctively seek the divine and long for eternity. Though the flesh will perish, the spirit containing the seed of life is eternal and immortal, and it must go either to heaven or to hell. We can understand that the origin of our spirit, soul, and body is God the Creator. Job also came to realize this origin through trials. In the past, although he worshipped God as his deity, he still made a distinction between what was his and what belonged to God. But when he came to understand his origin, he began the process of becoming one with God. How about you? Do you separate what is yours from what is God's? If we love God, we become one with Him. If you have the faith that what belongs to the Father is yours and what is yours belongs to the Father, then you will lack nothing. When we do not insist what we have before God, but consider all things to be His, God will fill us with every need, both in body and the spirit. But don't misunderstand. You say that we learned that God, what is, you may say, you have to give me whatever I ask. But first thing we have to do is, what belongs to ours should be His. First, we have to offer all our time, all our money, all our devotion, all our life should be His. Parents, even their children, should be the fathers. Once they have such a heart, then God would say, all right, what belongs to mine is yours. But people don't do that. And they hear the message and they insist that what belongs to God is mine. That way they cannot receive an answer. But once you make all what belongs to you to be God's, like your time, your family, and they are only focused on giving glory to God, then God will repay you with abundant blessings. When we offer with the desire to glorify God alone, He will never look away from us. He will answer our every prayer and protect us. Even though you may have shortcomings, even though you may face accidents, God provides a way to escape. And then you, and God prevents from you from meeting. And God also leads you to repent. Even though you are not perfect, if you try to glorify God, He protects you and keeps you safe. This is our loving God. As we understand such principles of blessing, like what belongs to ours is God's, if we offer all what we have to God, if we live such with such a mindset, what belongs to God becomes ours. Then we can live a life of sowing and reaping by faith. God said, silver is mine and gold is mine. And He also called Himself the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. All things that exist belong to God the Creator. All wealth, honor, authority, wisdom, and power are His. Once we become one with God, the Lord of all things, and bring Him joy, the desires of our hearts are answered. This way, what belongs to God becomes ours. Therefore, we must awaken to such spiritual principles. We must remember the Creator God who gave us the seed of life and become one with Him. Brothers and sisters, do you desire to be united with Him? The way to do this is by walking in the light and imitating the heart of Jesus Christ. For God is a true light. We must come out of darkness and walk in the light. As we pursue the will of God, we can resemble our Lord more. To the extent that we resemble the Lord, we become one with God. More than anyone, God desires us to be united with Him. This is why, before carrying the cross, Jesus prayed for His disciples, saying that they also may be one just as we are. Because just as Jesus is one with God, Jesus asked God to make His disciples to become one with God as well. To become one with God is to achieve a heart of whole spirit. A man of whole spirit are, above all, one with the Father God in heart, will, and thoughts. In everything, they accurately discern His will and fulfill it with all their strength. They don't have what they desire, they don't seek what is more beneficial to them, and they, between choices, they choose the one that sacrifices and benefits others. This is how those who are one with God lives. They live in the light. They live in the Word. Also, whatever they do it with thanksgiving, joy, and love for God. They always base their words, thoughts, and actions on God's standard. Whatever they do, their heart is set on God, and the fragrance of love for Him flows out. For the children who have become one with God, it is only natural to manifest power which belongs to God and bear abundant fruit both in spirit and in body. Don't you want to attain to such glorious spiritual levels? This is Father God's earnest desire and also the purpose of the human cultivation. Thus, I pray that all of you will quickly reach such levels of whole spirit. In the following passage, God questioned Job, "Who can count the clouds by wisdom or tip the water jars of the heavens? When the dust hardens into a mass and the clouds stick together?" First, God asked, "Who can count the clouds by wisdom?" In other words, who is wise enough to count the clouds? But truly, who among us could count the clouds with wisdom? No matter how advanced science becomes, it's impossible to count the clouds because they constantly appear and vanish. Moreover, who could count the countless stars in the vast and endless universe? Compared to the vastness of the universe, the earth is merely a faint speck of light. And if we compare the solar system, which includes the earth, to the enormous galaxy, it is nothing more than a single dot. We learned this in the science class. It's not easy for us to even revolve around the earth. But compared to the universe, our earth is a single dot. And our galaxy, compared to the entire universe, is also a tiny dot. Furthermore, the universe continues to expand, and beyond the scope of our observation, countless stars exist. Therefore, it is utterly impossible to measure their number with precision. Years ago, we used to say that there are specific number of stars, but with the advancement of science, people figured that it's impossible to count the stars. Yet, with the power of the Creator God who made those stars, it is fully possible to count them. Thus, the psalmist praise God. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Reflecting on the wondrous and mysterious power of God, Job was filled with awe. But at the same time, he deeply realized the limitations of man. Realizing this is very important. God told Job what to repent, God asked Job whether he knew this and that, and Job realized his ignorance and limitations of man. He deeply realized his ignorance and limitations, and he realized that he was nothing. And even the galaxy or the earth is nothing more than a single dot and compared to the entire universe. That's what Job was realizing. When we realize this, we can change ourselves more quickly. Then, and we admit ourselves before God. We admit that we are evil and we have shortcomings, and we say, Father, I want to change myself today and tomorrow. But if you refuse to acknowledge that, but if you boast of our accomplishments, then when someone gives him advice, he wouldn't acknowledge his faults or shortcomings, and he becomes stagnant and doesn't change, doesn't advance. But in order to change yourself, you have to humble yourself and you have to make humble confession. And whoever gives you advice, you just acknowledge that and you admit yourself. And even though some of other people's words are not right, but you, and you appreciate other people's advice, and you, even though you've discovered one thing about you, you are thankful and appreciate other people's advice. And Job was also, even though God was not directly pointing out Job's faults, God asked those questions, and God led Job to realize his, and Job realized that he was nothing, and he was nothing more than a speck of dust, and he realized that he'd argued against God, argued against his friends, and argued over what is right or wrong. When Job came to this awakening, he began to repent and truly repent. Next, God asked, who can tip the water jars of the heavens when the dust hardens into a mess and the clouds stick together? The water jars of the heaven in the verse is like God's treasuries. Just like the storehouses of the snow and the storehouses of the hail mentioned in the verse 22, they are places where precious things are kept. This does not mean that there is an actual storage for water. Rather, it helps us realize that the origin of water is God. In other words, this question means, who can pour out the jars of heaven filled with water, turn the dust into a mess, and make the clouds of earth stick together? The earth, when they are dry, they don't stick together. But once water is poured on them, they make clots and they stick together, and then God asked that if there is a jar of heaven, by sending rain from heaven, God turned dust into clay and the clumps of earth got bound together. The earth became a living land. This way, God allowed countless living creatures on earth to dwell together in harmony and beauty. Through this explanation, Job came to realize that even his trials were under God's providence. He also understood that God, who makes dust into clay and binds the clumps of the earth together, could surely heal his diseased body and make him whole in a moment. Brothers and sisters, we must always remember that our life and death, blessings and curse, and rise and fall are all in God's hands. God said in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" And in Psalm chapter 37, verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." If you believe these words without any doubt, then you can surely entrust everything, the issues in your family, workplace, and business, and even your illnesses, into the hands of the Almighty God. Those who entrust all things into God's hands rely not on their own knowledge or experience, but on the Word of God. They walk the right path in obedience to His Word, refrain from greed, and pursue what is good. Even in the face of hardship, they do not compromise with unrighteousness, but act in honesty and bring joy to God. In return, God grants them wisdom and causes them to prosper. I mean, people say that people request prayer for answers and blessings, but they just pursue their greed and they live, don't keep the word, and they don't follow the right path. Then, as a result, they are in trouble. But instead of repenting, they just request prayer. Before you make prayer requests, you have to repent first. You have to make prayer requests according to the order. And when you make a prayer request, then first thing you have to do is you have to figure out why such a problem came and repent. And you have to discover. And when you make a prayer request, and you have to first write a message that you did this wrong and you're repenting this and that, and I'm repenting, and like I've also didn't pray, I please intercede for me. But without repenting, if you just make request of a prayer, I'm a little bit bewildered. Should I pray for that? God's answer doesn't come that way. I'm heartbroken for your troubles, and I want you to receive prayer and also give glory to God. First, you have to at least prepare a vessel before coming to me. Like if you make wrong investment and lose all your money and you want to recover the money lost. But first thing you have to do is you have to repent of having greed and making wrong investments. And you have to look back on yourself, and you have to also repent of not living by the word and not praying. But some people just only just make prayer request. And first thing they have to do is they have to hold on to God. But without making such efforts, they just without changing their heart, they just say, "I believe if you pray for me, God will answer me." This is not faith. This is just a seeking luck. You don't make efforts, but only seeking luck. This is not acknowledging God. This doesn't bring down God's answers and blessings. Therefore, I pray that you will fully obey the word of God, rely on Him in all things, so that the blessing of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12 may abundantly come upon you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in a season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow.
그런 축복의 말씀만 딱 외우시고 그것만 인용해서 기도하시면 아무 소용 없어요.
자, 그 such blessed people, some people, if you just remember such word of blessing and then pray, it doesn't work. There's a condition. You have to live by the word. You have to live by all the statutes. Then God will give you blessings. The words of God has its pair. When there is a word of blessing, there is a condition. When there is a problem, there is a principle how to figure that out. God can do everything, but in order to meet God and experience Him, you have to know how to pray, how to make a request. You have to figure this thing out and ask Him in wise ways. Next, can you hunt prey for the lioness or satisfy the appetite of a young lions? When they crouch in their hiding places and lie in wait in their lair? However, these verses hold a deeper meaning beyond simply saying that lions or wild animals living on the plains are fed and sustained by God. The time when they crouch in their hiding places and lie in wait in verse 40 refers to the time when they are hungry and searching for food. Lions crouch quietly in their dens or hide in their forest, raiding. When prey appears, they swiftly strike and hunt. Like, you know, those natural channels, like where animals, they hide in the forest, they crouch among the grass, and when they see those wild beasts, they keep themselves low, and they, at some point, they strike. You remember those scenes from the nature channel. When they strike, they rush and snatch it. There is no reason for anyone to provide food for these lions. And trying to satisfy, like lions in the zoo, you have to provide food. But I'm talking about the lions on the wild, in the wild. Even though they are hungry, they have to hunt the prey themselves. There's no need for anyone to approach it, the lions and provide them with food. Then they would themselves would become prey to the lions. And trying to satisfy a young lion with a voracious appetite is an utterly reckless thing to do. When God spoke using this illustration, Job came to understand his spiritual meaning. What kind of awakening was God trying to give Job? When a lion is looking for prey and waiting to strike, the best thing to do is leave it alone. If Job were to try feeding it, he would likely become his prey instead. God was reminding Job that all things in life must follow the proper order. Because a lion looks hungry. If you get some food and bring it to the lion, this is useless. You just leave things working according to its order. He meant that when a person acts hastily or handles things according to their own thoughts, it can lead to absurd outcomes. While God was trying to lead Job eastward, if Job insists on going west, it would be like walking straight into the jaws of a hungry lion. Basically, God had a reason for allowing Job's trials. So, if Job had trusted God and endured in patience, Job would have received his blessings through the trials. God was saying, Job, I'm refining you so that you can become a holy, righteous person, but you do not understand my will and are straying far from the right path. The same applies to our lives. God tells us to pray, abstain from evil, and serve because He has a purpose. He also allows us trials within His will and sometimes puts us through tests and tribulations. If we trust God, respond with amen, and walk in obedience, everything will ultimately work out well. But many people fail to do so. Out of impatience, they run here and there, swayed by changing situations. At times, they pray, but soon give up. They believe, then doubt, and even grumble. Why isn't my answer coming quickly? I received prayer, but my sickness hasn't gone away. I am praying hard and doing my best, but my business is still struggling. If we say such words in complaining, it becomes difficult to receive quick answers. The reason is, everything happens according to our faith, and we bear fruit according to our confessions. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. Therefore, we need to have spiritual faith." Even though something looks totally impossible in a physical sense, if we believe, pray, and take action, it will surely come to pass. But if we focus only on the visible reality and say, "This is too hard, I don't think it will work," then things will unfold just as we say. It doesn't work. Fleshly faith produces only fleshly results. Therefore, do not focus on what is seen, but with spiritual faith, always hold on to the promises of God that are unseen, thereby gaining spiritual results. Also in your life, just when you face a trouble, if you just grumble against God, this is like going, approaching a lion and giving it food. You are bringing troubles upon yourself. There's no reason to complain against God. In your trouble, you have to humble yourself and try to discover yourself. If you have a narrow vessel, if you have conflicts with others, then you have to lower and humble yourself, and you have to realize that God is giving you a chance to look at yourself and pray. But if you just if you just put the blame on others and not realizing your faults, then you are like Job. And it's like standing before a hungry lion and offering to give food. That doesn't solve your problem, but it would bring upon greater trouble. If you have to discover such areas in your life and thoroughly repent and turn into a person who pleases God. In the following verse, God asked, "Who prepares feed for the raven when its young cry to God and wander about without food?" When young ravens cry out in hunger and wander around, who could provide for them? This wasn't something Job could do. It was something only God could. From the smallest creatures to the mighty lion, God has ensured that all living things can survive in His providence. Through this illustration, God was saying, "Job, even the beasts and the birds are fed by me. Why then do you say this and that, asking, 'Where is God?' Ultimately, all answers come from me." In other words, it was not Job who got everything done, but God who did it all. God was also letting Job know that He had listened to his every cry and was working for him. Through these words, Job felt deeply embarrassed and ashamed and realized his ignorance, rebellion, and sins. We will continue with chapter 39 in the next session. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Through the words of God, Job gradually came to see himself more clearly. His fleshly thoughts were being broken down. Before, he insisted on his own righteousness and viewed everything from a self-centered perspective. But as he recognized the power of God, he gradually shifted to a God-centered one. I encourage you to apply this to your own life as well. People often misconceive they succeed and triumph by their own efforts and abilities. But think about it. If the sun and the moon were gone, if there were no air or wind, if the land dried up without rain, how could we possibly survive? Even just a few months without rain or 1 year of economic downturn would bring great hardship and disorder to our own lives. A hunter may shoot a sparrow and boast, "I have great skill," but unless God allows it, not even a single sparrow falls to the ground. In the same way, our happiness or misfortune, success or failure, are all in the hands of God. Moreover, during the human cultivation, things are happening among things about the relationship with others. I once told you, just because you go to an isolated island doesn't mean you are sanctified. You have to be among people. You have to be among men and learn humbleness, and you have to broaden your vessel. You have to see different kinds of people, and you, if you insist on yourself, you cannot embrace others. That's why you have to change yourself, transform yourself so that you can embrace all kinds of people. Then you can come forth as God's true children. This is about the relationship with others during the human cultivation. That's how we become changed into a person whom God desires. But if we find other people comfortable, find other people annoying, you wish that some kind of people would not exist. Sometimes you may think that way, but it is never the case. Because of those person, you discover yourself. You are motivated to pray. You are motivated to humble yourself. Cast off arrogance. Cast off your self-righteousness. And the shepherd said, if there's someone who harasses you, if there's someone who gives you a hard time, you have to go and say thank you and give a present to that person. When you have conflicts, that means you have something to cast off, something to fix. Because you have such things in your heart, you have conflicts and clashes with others. That's why you have to, that person is leading you to discover your, without that person, you cannot discover yourself. Because of him, you came to realize what kind of person you are. You are motivated to pray. You are motivated to humble yourself. You are motivated to learn the Lord's love and God's great heart. You have to be appreciative. Then God will be pleased with you. And God, Job was speechless and he became humble. You may think, because of that person who hates me, because of that person who gives me a hard time, because of the person, then I'm suffering unjustly. Do you have such a person around you? Then you have to know that such a person is kind of an assignment given by God. That doesn't mean God is giving you that person. It's because you don't embrace that person. So you have to broaden yourself and change yourself into goodness. Then you transform yourself, and then other people would also change, and you can build good relationship with them. You have to acknowledge God in all your areas. This is how you acknowledge God from the bottom of your heart. You may complain because of that person you are suffering. It will be better if that person does not exist. you have to figure out God's will, and you have to be ready to obey and be humble. Then you can change yourself even without going through trials like Job. I hope that you always acknowledge God. For we are God's children who have received the citizenship of heaven. We ought to follow the laws of His kingdom, walk in the light, and pray according to His will. Then God will surely answer us and lead us onto the prosperous path. Therefore, as Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 tells us, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I pray that in our Lord's name that you will humbly seek His will in all things and be continually led in the prosperous way.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.